Thank you. I'm going to get started pretty quickly here. I want to welcome each of you here in the name of Christ. Welcome those who are joining us online and any who are listening in the future. I hope this message finds you well. So, we're going to get started. I've done this before in a previous sermon. I didn't do a slide sermon today, but I am going to do something. I'm going to ask that if you have your scriptures, you get them out, because you never know which one I'm going to come to. Okay, and also, if you have a phone, I know you have access to it. I know you do. And we're going to use it. We're going to use it today. We're going to do some reading. We're going to do some contextualizing. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but that's what we're going to do. I'm going to start us off first asking a question. I want to ask you a question. Who are you? Now, I'm not talking about your name, okay? But who are you? This isn't a philosophical question. I mean this practically. Practically, who are you? Okay? Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to read, starting in verse 1. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Like I said, follow along. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. This is Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And I intend to speak and exhort these things today. Who are you? This, what I just read, and what I hope you followed along with, is who you are supposed to be. That is the answer to our question. Now, I want to key in on one verse, 14. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous, this great energy, a great enthusiasm. It also means to covet earnestly, to have a desire for. We are supposed to be zealous of good works. But one word. Focus on one verse. I want to focus on one word. And it brings me to the title of my sermon, A Peculiar People. A Peculiar People. In this context, in this verse, this word in Greek, those in my Sunday school class know I'm not good at pronouncing those words, so I'm not going to try to pronounce it. But it means being beyond usual, or in other words, special or one's own, peculiar. Special, one's own. Keep that in mind. Let's go to 1 Peter. You're just going to flip over a couple books. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. All right, I'm going to start in verse 5. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Let's think about this. Who are you? As we read through these things, who are you? Ye also, starting in verse 5. Sorry, I forgot my water bottle downstairs. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Talking about Jesus Christ. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Talking about Christ. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. If you want to take a note from today, take a pen, a highlighter, take your finger, plop it down right there in the middle of verse 9, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're going to come back to that later. Verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Hey, thanks, Rusty. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold. Glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, I was going to go down to 15, but we're just going to keep, or go down to 16, but we're just going to keep going. If you go back to verse, go back to verse 9. This word peculiar means, by extension, preservation, obtaining or obtain, purchased, possession, saving. Verse 10 says, we are now the people of God. Verse 11 says, we are strangers and pilgrims. Why am I highlighting these things? Well, we are the people of God. Okay? You are the people of God. We are strangers and pilgrims to this world. Pilgrims means a resident foreigner. This world, the things of this world, everything in this world that we would consider the world, we are foreigners too, and they should be foreign to us. Contrasting the ordinary things of the world, we should be extraordinary. This world promotes the zealous pursuit of selfishness. We are called to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. We just read that in Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is what it means to be peculiar. We should be unique. We should be different, special, one's own, Christ's own. We should be Christ's. To us who believe, Christ is precious. We just read, to the world he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You know, I cannot point or make a better or paint a better picture, a more perfect picture of juxtaposition than that. To those who believe, Christ is precious. To those in the world, he is a stone of stumbling. We are called the people of God, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people of Christendom, this holy nation, this people, a peculiar people, a people, each one of you, called out of the darkness by Jesus Christ into his marvelous light. Do you believe it? When I asked you who you are, is that who you thought? Are you a peculiar person? Are you one? And let me ask you in another way, are you Christ's own? Believe it. Exercise it. Demonstrate it. Are you a peculiar person? Are you one of Christ, one of His chosen, one that He claims? Are you? Believe it. Exercise it. Demonstrate it. Okay, we have 30 minutes left. I'm going to go through three stories. I'm going to highlight three stories, three examples. We're going to talk about these things. Believe it, exercise it, and demonstrate it. Talking about being these peculiar people. Believe it, exercise it, and demonstrate it. Okay, first off, we're going to start off. Everyone turn, phone or book, to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. This is a well-known book. 1 Samuel's got a lot of cool stories in it. But we're going to talk about David. We're going to talk about David. So we're going to pick up at the story kind of farther down the line. A lot of people know David and Goliath and other different stories. This is where we're going to start. So Saul is the first king of Israel, okay? Saul did something to disobey the Lord, and the Lord told him that he was eventually no longer going to be king, and the lineage of his family was no longer going to be king, and he was going to find another, and that was going to be David. So, something changed in Saul. Here's Saul now that David had played the harp for him, and Saul knew David when he went to fight Goliath. But here now in this story, we're going to pick it up. Here's Saul, the king of Israel. He is feuding with David. Saul was hot and cold towards David. Saul was constantly pursuing to kill him. He wanted to kill him, only to then get to that point and then repent of that. Or David would confront him, and then he would repent of that. So, and the Lord had always intervened in these miraculous ways or in these different ways in order to prevent that. So here's Saul. We're going to pick up in the story. Here's Saul pursuing David, okay? So after a couple of times of this happening,